Today is not a day for fast driving. It's certainly in parts of the province. Another text here, this one from Alice in Spears. Highway 40, covered in snow. A semi nearly rear-ended, Alice, this morning in the whiteout. It's, one of those things. We have those close calls. But, gosh, sometimes when you pass on a highway, especially when the highway is snow-covered, you pass a semi, it kicks up so much snow, your instinct is instantly to hammer on the brakes. But you worry about who's firing up behind you, too, and what speed they're going. So it is a drive with care kind of a day. That highway hotline, I just checked it again momentarily here. The update on it shows that there still are some roads around the Estevan area that are completely closed. Travel not recommended, basically south of, if you draw a line from Herbert to Moose Jaw and straight south from there, Gravelburg, Assiniboia, even Radville down in that country, travel's not advised. Lots of rough parts, lots of snow plows out there as well. But overall in the province, either partly covered or covered highways. So do take care as you're out and about. Okay, well, we do a regular check-in on this program with the police leaders in the province. And it's been about a month since we've chatted with Saskatoon's Chief of Police, Cam McBride. And I'm happy to say we've connected with Chief McBride by phone today. Chief, slick underfoot or not bad on your drive to work today?
Oh, it was a little bit slick, and the blowing snow from vehicles was significant for sure.
It's always an issue for sure. We actually just had one of your officers, Ray Robertson, on the show this week, yesterday, talking about traffic safety. It was good session. There's no shortage of questions when it comes to traffic safety on this program.
Oh, for sure, and Ray knows that world inside and out, so he's a great one to have on.
He was. Okay, there's a few things I wanted to talk about in terms of recent stories. And this story that was put out by your service yesterday is what makes me want to be back on the front line. Chief, this story is what makes me want to be back out there doing policing. This is the suspect that fled from police in a vehicle, then jumped out, ran on foot, was caught hiding under a barbecue cover. This story, this fleeing from police, like in a vehicle, is becoming more and more common. Do you keep stats on how often people are either fleeing from or failing to stop for police?
Yeah, we do keep stats and report those stats. And it's one of the most dangerous things that we deal with in policing. Certainly the risk is significant. There's provincial policy and our own internal policy on how we deal with those circumstances. And they are on the rise, and it's absolutely concerning because it places so much danger on the public.
So what is the process? Like, what are the ways in which you can safely still hold an offender like this who's in a stolen car accountable without risking the public by chasing after them?
Well, the very second that a stop is initiated and the person flees from police, an examination of the risk is undertaken. And that examination of risk comes right from the officers who are behind that vehicle to the supervisor supervising to the watch commander or operational staff sergeant who's monitoring the entire shift. And basically we have to have a lawful justification or legislative support to stop that vehicle. And is that reason for stopping the vehicle significant? Is it an armed robbery? Is it a kidnapping? Or is it just a traffic violation? And then what level of risk is that person placing the public in based on their driving behavior? And as soon as the determination is made that the risk to the public does not outweigh the necessity of stopping that person, evade incident is shut down. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of policy around that. And so now in 2025, we have video surveillance. We have reports from the community. We have our air support unit all assisting us in identifying who individuals are engaged in this type of behavior without necessarily having to continue pursuing or following that vehicle. Yeah, we do our very best, and it's just a risk analysis that goes on constantly.
Chief Cam McBride is my guest. A couple other quick stories I wanted to touch on that were in the news just yesterday. One, over the weekend, a teen boy was arrested after a series of hit and runs in a stolen vehicle. I believe he was 17 years old. I heard a discussion in the workplace here where people are like, how is this? Like, why are teens doing this? And who's looking after these kids? And, you know, that conversation that, of course, you and I have had many times. Could you have a sense if youth crime is on the rise, on the decline in Saskatoon?
Locally in Saskatoon and nationally, we've been watching those numbers. And the concerning thing is the numbers are on the rise. It's not an overwhelmingly significant increase, but it's an increase nonetheless. And so it brings us to examine, well, what are the foundational things that youth need in order to make wise decisions? What are the missing links? Where do the police have the capacity to inject themselves by support, by education, by relationship building? And honestly, that's why our SRO, School Resource Officer Program, is so important. We believe in it, and the senior school leaders that we interact with all the time believe in it. And so how do we create a foundation for young people that gives them basically sets them up for success to make good, wise decisions?
I think that probably does make a difference, Chief, on those that are, you know, maybe borderline. But is there, what else can be done? I often will see people texting in on the text line saying, is there not a way that parents can be held accountable for their kids if they're under a certain age? Is that something that's ever talked about?
We talk about it, and we hear that from the community as well. And there is some element of ensuring that youth have the proper and adequate supports in place. But many of the youth that we deal with in policing who are involved in some of the most violent or challenging behavior are youth that just have no support or no sense of belonging, no sense of guidance or family or community. And so they're finding community in the wrong places, and it leads them down a really dangerous, bad path. And that's where we connect with them, we interact with them, and we meet with social services. We have our hub model that looks at who are the partners engaged in supporting these young people. And it's a very challenging circumstance when you're dealing with youth who just are set up for failure right from the get-go.
Chief Cam McBride is my guest. So I know it's not just exclusively youth causing problems on transit, but I do want to talk about this recent decision by City Council to put Saskatoon police officers on transit buses to deal with the violence, with the safety issues. Do you see this as a short-term strategy, Chief, or is this something that you think you will be engaged in longer term?
Well, certainly the conversations around transit safety have been ongoing for a while. We've seen a number of violent incidents occur on buses. And so we, in cooperation and collaboration with the City of Saskatoon, are trying to figure out, okay, how do we address this? And who is the appropriate resource to put on the buses? And so the commitment from the police service is to be engaged in transit safety. But that doesn't necessarily mean having an officer on the bus at all times. It includes the area around the most challenging bus stops. It includes being present at the bus mall downtown. It includes investigating crimes and circumstances that happen on the buses, because we know that it's really only a limited number of individuals who are violent or creating risk for our drivers. And so how do we identify who those people are? How do we hold them accountable for the behaviors they're exhibiting? And so it's not just being on the bus, it's creating a philosophy or a methodology around transit safety generally. And there are places, including large centers in the UK, that have really, really great successful models to base what we do from. And so we'll be looking at those things as we build out our model in 2026 and see where it goes from there. But definitely it will not be simply a police officer on a bus. There's a lot more to it than that.
Okay, we're going to take our break here. We'll come back. We'll finish this conversation on bus safety with Chief Cam McBride. I'm also curious to know how things shook out with the budget. Of course, City Council approved the overall city budget. The police budget was part of that. What new additions are in the police budget? What things will be visible to the citizens of Saskatoon based on the increase? That conversation and more with Chief Cam McBride when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. Chatting with Chief Cam McBride, the chief of the Saskatoon Police Service. So we were talking about the investment that council approved through budget this last little while about transit police. So these will be Saskatoon police officers. I think it's four off the start with a vehicle dedicated to doing investigations on transit-related crime. Chief, can you talk about what other options? Fair enough if police are kind of taking the lead on this file, but are there other options that are more environmental changes that could enhance safety on transit?
Yeah, for sure. Like, we know that a small percentage, small but significant percentage of the incidents are a level of violence where police are necessary. But having the police lead a transit safety initiative where we know that all the equipment on the bus, including the payment mechanism, is working properly, where there's kind of a crime prevention philosophy used for the bus stops, where those who would be engaged in criminal behavior in the community who are now riding a bus understand that the bus is not a safe haven for them, that criminal activity is not going to be tolerated on a city bus, and ensuring that we continue to engage others who are involved, like the fire community safety officers, like perhaps our AROs or any other support system that we can incorporate to ensure it's kind of an all hands on deck methodology.
Can we talk a little bit about budget? I know budget was approved last week. The city overall city budget was approved and the police budget was in there. What was contained in your budget ask, aside from this transit discussion, new initiatives that will be covered in that, new officers? Can you help understand what that increase is for?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think foundationally it's important to know that we're in an environment where inflation is significant. We also had a significant increase in compensation as a result of an arbitration award. And the city of Saskatoon has grown by the city population of Moose Jaw since 2022. And so there are significant pressures to meet the demands of policing in Saskatoon. So 2026, to sum it up, is predominantly growth as a result of workload pressure. The increased calls for service. We're looking at communication staff. We're looking at some of our investigative staff. Knowing that 2025 saw an approval for significant frontline staff that we have to hire and put to work in 2026 as well. 2027 is some additional frontline growth, but there's some other things, growth of a digital disclosure unit that is required by court, growth of our cybersecurity capacity, which is required because of the increases in risk in the current environment around cyber and cybersecurity. So that's kind of our budget in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. When you look, if you pull the growth out, the growth is very responsible and necessary, but built in are significant inflationary things to address our current environment and those pressures.
I know that typically, and this is just a generalization on my part, but police budgets tend to be about 20% of an overall city budget. They fluctuate up and down, and that has happened over the years throughout Canada. You guys, I think, are close to 25%, so a quarter of the overall budget, which is a little bit higher than most places and one of the highest in Canada. Is that a concern to you? Is that a concern to council? Has the board spoken to you about that, or is that just the makeup of the way things are in Saskatoon?
Well, I would say it has not been brought to me as a very significant concern, and I think it's because our budget is a response to the current financial environment, and it's a response to what the community is telling us and asking for. And so I think that percentage point is, well, I know it's constantly moving. It's a moving target, and perhaps next year it will be 23%. You know, perhaps in 2028 it'll be 22%. We just never know. But what I do know is that the budget is necessary and it's responsible, and it'll set us up in a good way for 26 and 27.
When we look at crime trends, we're close to the end of the year now. You reflect back on 2025. What was it that you would put your finger on? I'm talking crime statistics now and crime trends that were positive, and what was the challenge that you've now got some work to do on?
Well, you know, some of our statistics around property crime are down significantly. Residential break and enters down significantly. And knowing that residential break and enters are really impactful for victims of that crime, seeing those numbers go down is very, very encouraging to me. Violent crime overall is up slightly, but within the realm of assaults and assaults that result from, you know, intoxication or mental health concerns. You know, those are on the rise, and those are of significant concern. But we've made some really good headway in 2025 on some great projects. Our warrant enforcement unit up and running, our intimate partner violence team up and running. And so there's some great things going on. We're going to start to realize those benefits significantly, I believe, in 2026. So I'm really encouraged for 2026. I think it's going to be a great year.
Okay, I like to hear that. We'll end on that note. Christmas is just around the corner. I know you really are always keeping an eye on that phone, but do you get some downtime? What does Christmas look like in the McBride household?
I get a little bit of downtime for sure, although my phone is never turned off. I'm very responsive to the community and to our service. Our house is Grand Central. Children, grandchildren, coming and going, and I love every minute of it.
And you are the typical dad with a garbage bag picking up the wrapping as soon as it's tore off the gift?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew that would be you. Chief, always appreciate having you on. If I don't chat with you again, have a great holiday season, and we'll chat again in early 2026.
Thank you so much, and all the best to you as well.
You bet. Chief Cam McBride, the chief of the Saskatoon Police Service. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the Canadian Taxpayers Federation has come out with a couple of interesting news releases lately, including their annual naughty and nice list. Who's on the list? Well, I can tell you Premier Scott Moe is on the list. Which one? Well, we'll find that out when we talk with Franco Carrizano, the federal director for the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, next on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.